Let us come before God with prayer. Timeless God, we thank you for all those before us who have kept the faith to the end. Give us wisdom to understand your will and courage to live as your people in this day, through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. There we go. Last Friday was All Saints' Day, a day when we remember that we're baptized into a communion or a community of saints. When we think of who saints are, we think of people like Mother Teresa or Joan of Arc, Gandhi or Nelson Mandela, those spiritual, influential, brave, faithful giants. We think of people who've done something extraordinary and lived a faith-filled and faithful life. And when we turn to Scripture to ask, who are the saints? Paul would suggest in 2 Thessalonians that saints are people whose faith is growing abundantly, whose love of everyone is increasing. For Paul, saints were people whose steadfastness and faith remained firm during all their persecutions and afflictions. That sums up the definition for the first 300 years of church history. A saint was someone who got killed for Christ. They were the martyrs of the church. The definition of saint then changed, and it's changed and changed a couple of times. In 313, when the Roman persecution of Christians ended, saints were defined as the famous heroes of the faith, who, when prayed to, could intercede to God on our behalf. With the idea that people could pray for themselves directly, though, some of the definition of saints changed again during the Reformation to a loved one who had died and gone to be with God. Now, about 100 years ago, things changed again, and the most common definition was someone that was perfect, or someone who puts up with a cranky person, i.e., my brothers would tell you that Barb is a saint. When we turn to the Bible, the word saint is never singular, but always plural. Secondly, it refers to God's holy people. And it's not that saints are holy in and of themselves, but because God is holy and they are associated with God. The goal for saints is to act today as if God's kingdom had already come, as if God's ways were already a reality. And by the very nature of their lives, these people inspire us to be holy. A famous example comes from the lives of Dr. David Livingstone and Henry Stanley. Livingstone was a famous missionary who disappeared into the depths of the jungles of Africa. And after a lengthy search for Dr. Livingstone, Henry Stanley gave us the famous line, "Dr. Livingstone, I presume," when he found him. The two men lived together for 3 months, and Henry Stanley recorded in his memoirs, "Dr. Livingstone made me a Christian, and he didn't even know he was doing it. He inspired me and didn't even try to." Now, if we're tempted to believe all saints were giants of faith, God confronts us today with a small, unsavory, weaselly man named Zacchaeus. Right from the beginning, we're supposed to hate this guy. Think about it. Things haven't changed much. Is anyone here looking forward to the next time Revenue Canada contacts you? Tax collectors are not our favorite people. Now, we know that Zacchaeus was remarkably short. He was probably that kid that everyone picked on in the schoolyard. And that could have motivated his becoming a tax collector. Think about it. His position got him respect, even if it was the grudging kind. And if anyone hassled him, he had the Roman soldiers to back him up. But Zacchaeus goes one step worse. Not only was he collecting taxes from his own people and taking his own cut and handing the money over to the Romans, but Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. So he'd been good at his job, and he'd risen through the ranks. Now, we're not sure what Zacchaeus' initial motivation was, but he was trying to see who Jesus was when Jesus spotted him up a tree. When the two start to interact, people expect judgment from Jesus. They expect something like, "Woe unto you," or "Repent," or "Wise up." But instead, Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And the reaction of Zacchaeus is one of sheer and utter joy. He was being offered the potential for a new and deeper relationship. He was being welcomed into someone's home, invites a certain level of intimacy and a deeper level of knowing. Now, many would suggest that Zacchaeus experiences grace and joy because he had actually owned his shame. Deep down, Zacchaeus knew that he'd been evil. He knew he'd been defying God and abusing other people. He knew he was scorned and despised by his fellow countrymen. He knew that no self-respecting Jew would ever step near his house, let alone eat with him. But if we read the gospel carefully, we know that Jesus saved all of his hardest words for one group, and one group only. That's that group who don't know themselves. Jesus consistently criticized only those who thought they were better than they really were. And it was always the same issue, hypocrisy, the inability to be real and to come to terms with any evil within themselves as well as goodness. Being real is basic to Christianity, but it's tough to be real, to be self-aware and brutally honest. It's hard to allow layers of masks that we all build up over the years to be gradually peeled away so that we can be free to be ourselves and truly genuine. Peeling away layers is painful. It's like peeling away the layers of an onion. Every time you take a layer off, the tears come. Becoming real is scary, and it usually stings. So on the subject of real, I always like to turn to the expert, the old skin horse from The Velveteen Rabbit. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. His coat had bald patches, his seams showed, and most of the hairs in his tail were missing. But he was wise, and he understood nursery magic. When asked by the rabbit one day, "What is real?" he responded, "Real is when a child loves you for a long, long time. It doesn't happen all at once, and sometimes it hurts. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or who have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you're real, you can't be ugly, except to the people who don't understand." Now, for me, saints are not people who've reached some level of perfection or holiness, but they're the people who, in their being real, flawed, shabby, and maybe even a little crooked at times, through living their lives, allow us to see glimmers of God's love. One of the best definitions I've ever heard of a saint is they're the person that you meet who lets God's light shine through them. When I think back on saints that I've known, I always think first of Mary Read. Mary Read was this lovely woman, a kindergarten teacher for everybody in the village, well, in the southwest corner of Saskatchewan. She was gentle and kind and loving. She was a very faithful woman, active in the church. And as a newly ordained person, one of the jobs I was given was to help the congregation present her with a UCW lifetime membership pin. And they decided it was kind of fitting to present it on All Saints Day. And so as we made this presentation, I remember Mary walking up the aisle, muttering under her breath, or not under her breath, "I'm no saint, I'm no saint, I'm no saint." but to everybody else she was. Was she perfect? No. Beautiful? Not really. Famous for some heroic feat? Definitely not. Maybe she had a few more bad habits than she'd have liked. Maybe she was carrying around some guilt or shame, well-deserved or not, it doesn't matter. She lived her life daring to be real, daring to risk, daring to love, and allowing herself to be loved in return. And living her life, she inspired others to live to be the best they could be. The fun part was she never took that pin off and was actually buried with it. The kingdom of God is built heart to heart, soul by soul, by people such as Mary and Zacchaeus, these wonderful mixtures of sinner and saint, people quietly responding to the needs of the world, letting their light shine so that our world might know God is alive, that God is seeking beauty and healing and justice in our midst. So I invite you to take some time in the coming days to think about those who have been saints for you. Who has shone the loving light of God towards you? The saints past and present have helped inform the unique personality of the churches and communities and individuals that we presently are. And in remembering and sharing stories of these folks, we too can be inspired towards holiness, towards God's grace and hospitality, towards sharing God's healing love with all. The good news is that God in Jesus searched out Zacchaeus, and God is still continuing to search us out, to love us, taking that which is usual, average, even small and miserly, and loving us into the saints that God has created us to be. So may God bless us as we continue to seek and share the dream of wholeness for all, as we seek the light and life and love of God's presence. Amen.